والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبالوالدين إحسانا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are many relationships that a person has, and one very special relationship is a relationship that a person has with their parents. This is a very big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a very high rank to parents. So today we inshallah wanted to speak about this topic, about what does Islam say about our parents, how are we supposed to treat them, what are their rights over us. And the reason is because we are living in unprecedented times. For the men especially, when they go to the masjid, we hear that the elderly, many of them are sick, and some of them also have left this world in the last 1 year. So it's important that as a believer we have the right understanding that what does Islam say about our parents, that we're able to understand the azmat, the maqam, the rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Because this is one easy way through which a person can draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making our parents happy, by pleasing them, one can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second reason why this topic is very important is that many of us, many of our listeners, many of you, we are those who have our own children. And we speak about tarbiyah, how to do proper tarbiyah of our kids. So there is a lot to talk about upon that topic. But one principle is that tit for tat, that the way we behave with our parents is the way our kids will behave with us. So a child who is obedient, who respects his parents, his father and mother, then when that person has his own kids, his kids will also be obedient to him or her. You see, there is a hadith where the Prophet said that you should engage with women of other people in a very noble and an honorable way. That when you deal with women of other people, you should deal with them in a very honorable way. And if you do so, then your own women will be able to protect their honor and chastity. And secondly, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you behave with your parents in an honorable way, with husna suluk, in an excellent manner, then your kids will also behave with you in the following way, in the same manner. So it's important that we understand the rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to our parents. One person, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked a question to the Messenger of Allah, that what rights do parents have over their kids, over their children? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that huma jannatuk wa naruk, that your parents, both of them, your father, mother, they're either your paradise or they're your hell. And if you please them, if you keep them happy, make them happy, you can get Jannah. And if they become upset with you, then this can take a person towards the fire, Jahannam. And in this hadith, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, has mentioned both the parents, father and mother together. Then there are some ahadith mubarakah which mention the father separately and the mother separately. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Rida Rabbi fi Rida al-Walidi, that the pleasure of your Rabb lies in the pleasure of your father. Wa Sakhata Rabbi fi Sakhata al-Walidi, and the displeasure of your Lord lies in the displeasure of your father. In Sunan Abi Dawood, there is a riwayah that an old man, he came with his young son to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and he said that, O Messenger of Allah, when my child, he was young, when he was young, I was also at that time young. He was very poor. I had a lot of wealth at that time. But today, the roles have reversed. He is young and active, and I've become weak and old. He is rich and wealthy, and I don't have any wealth. I'm fakir. But he does not spend on me. I used to spend on him. My son, he doesn't spend on me. So the Prophet ﷺ addressed that young man and said that you and whatever your mal wealth that you have, they're all owned by your father. Your father possesses them. He has a right over you. He has a right over your mal, the wealth that you have. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ has also mentioned about mother, that al-jannatu taht aqdam al-ummahat, that paradise lies below the feet of the mother. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that one time there was a person who came in the khidmat of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said that, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, who has the greatest right over me? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that ummuk, your mother. Then he asked the second time that after my mother, who has the right, greatest right over me? And again the Prophet ﷺ replied, your mother. Then again he asked a third time, and again for the third time the Prophet ﷺ said, your mother. And then when he asked the fourth time, then the Prophet ﷺ said that summa abuka, now your father. Meaning three times mother was mentioned and the fourth time father. So we understand that one should have husn suluk, they should do good to both their parents, mother and father. But comparatively, relatively, compared to the father, the rank of the mother is higher in the Sharia. Because when a child comes to this world, so in that whole process, the mother, she has a greater role to play. So we look at the mercy, the merciful nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that because the mother, she went through a lot of difficulty, greater difficulty in terms of childbirth, in terms of tarbiyah, So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her greater reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes a right over her kids that they're supposed to give her higher rank, greater right relative to the father. Then, if you look at different ahadith mubarakah, so we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established a taluq, a relationship of love between parents and their children. And this is a very natural love that every parent, they have muhabbat for their kids. It's natural. This is an equation. And the Shariat encourages that this muhabbat should be cultivated, it should be nurtured. And based upon this muhabbat, there is a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif which mentions the three du'as which are certainly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The three du'as about which there is no doubt. They are maqbool indallah. And one of them is that du'a, وَدَعْوَةُ الْوَالِدِ عَلَىٰ وَلَدِهِ, that when a father makes dua for his children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua, accepts the dua of the father in favor of his children. So this is the reason our mashayikh, they teach that if the parents, even if they are sinners, even if they are distant from deen, still if they turn to their awlad, their children, with ikhlas, but sincerity, and they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about their kids with sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of parents in favor of their children in such a way the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a wali who is on wilayat al-kubra. The way Allah accepts the du'as of that person, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of a father when they make du'a for their children. So this is the reason why the children, they should be very careful. If we have parents alive, then we should not be a source of inconvenience for them. Rather, we should become a source of affection, love and comfort for them, so that we are able to get their du'as, earn their du'as. Then the Prophet ﷺ has also taught us adab, what adab and etiquettes we're supposed to have with our parents. One time there was a son who came with his father to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ then spoke to that boy and said that you should not walk in front of your father. La tamshi amama abika. That don't walk in front of your father. Wala tastasibba lahu. And you should never curse your father. Wala tajlis qablahu. And you should not sit before he sits. And you let them sit first and then you should follow. And wala tad'uhu bismihi. And you should not address them by calling their name. This is also disrespectful. Use some other word like father or abba or abu. Any word that you want, any word of your choice, but it should be a word which expresses muhabbat, which expresses love and respect. And on the other hand, the Shariat also teaches us that we should not give any aziyat or taklif to our parents. And there is also strict punishment for those who give aziyat to their parents, who oppress, who zulm on their parents. In one hadith it comes that when a person, he does zulm on their parents, gives them, becomes a source of their grief and sorrow, then Shariat said that thalathatun, the three people, la yanzurullahu ilayhim yawm al-qiyamah. Three people, the three such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them with the rahmah, with the mercy on the day of qiyamah. So we can from this, just from this statement, we can understand the gravity, the darkness, the zulmat of this sin. That it's such a major sin in the Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even glance and gaze at that person, will not look in the direction of that person. Who are these three people? Number one, Al-Aqu li-Walidayhi. A child was disobedient to his parents. A disobedient son or a daughter. And second, Wal-Mar'atul Mutarajjila. That woman who dresses up in the way of a man. She likes to dress up in the way of a man. And number three, that what the Yusu, that person who doesn't have any haya. Three people are mentioned in this hadith. And this person will not just lose out in akhirah, one who is disobedient of his parents, but even in this dunya, this disobedience will come back. It will come back and it will cause loss for that person in this world. If a person behaves badly, does bura suluk, bad behavior with them, this is a type of a sin. There are some sins in the Sharia where a person will be punished in akhirah. But nothing happens in this dunya, they can enjoy the pleasure in this world. But there are a few sins in the Sharia where in the dunya there are negative consequences, and this is one of them. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that kullu zunub, every sin, the saza, the punishment will come on the day of Qiyamah, except uquq al-walidain, except the sin of being disobedient to one's parents, disobeying our parents. Because this is that guna, it's that sin that a person will be punished before they die. Now this is a very strong hadith mubarak, that a person will face the consequences in this world if they're rebellious, or if they are disobedient, or if they become a cause of grief and sorrow and sadness for their parents. But at the same time, there is also balance in our deen. And the balance comes that our first and foremost relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're supposed to respect and love our parents. This love and respect is also because of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our respect for the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need the primary, dominant, overpowering love in our life should be the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, if our parents tell us to do something which is against the Sharia, against the teachings of our deen, then there the Sharia says that you're not supposed to obey them. So there is this very important point that if a father or a mother, they tell us to do something that is khilaf the Sharia, then the Sharia says there is no obedience to creation, not just parents, any creation, no obedience to creation in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the disobedience of Creator. So for example, if the parents, may God forbid, if they're leading a life of fisk and fujur, if they're distant from deen, then Sharia says that you're still supposed to behave well with them, you're supposed to do good to them. But yes, if they tell you or command you to do something against the Sharia, then you're not supposed to follow, you're not supposed to obey. But you should still behave with them and live with them in a ma'roof way, in a good manner. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That live with both of them in a way in this world, in a ma'ruf way, in a good way, in a good manner. Even if they're unbeliever, even if they're mushrik, still the hukum is that in this dunya we're supposed to live with them in a good manner. And if the parents happen to be Muslims, believers, if they happen to be religious, then that is nurun ala nur. Then one should try to excel. One should try to get their du'as. Because this is a very easy way through which a person can get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes now there is another question that comes up. That maybe now we realize that this is the maqam of our parents in our deen. So for those whose parents are alive, we can make intention. Or we can renew our intention that I will try to win over them. If they're upset with me, I'll try to win over them. I'll try to respect them. I'll try to show my love for them. And whatever mistakes I did in the past, I'll seek their forgiveness. And in the future, I will try to lead a life where I become a source of their happiness, a source of their comfort. I will provide comfort to them. But then there might be some people that their parents are no longer alive. So the question comes up that if the parents are no longer alive, then what are we supposed to do? If there is a young boy or a young girl, if they weren't in their own life while their parents were alive, were able to do khidmat of their parents, serve them, love them, fulfill their rights. So they lost that golden opportunity. Now what they're supposed to do? Because we see that sometimes it happens that there is a person, a child, he was not able to earn before, and by the time he starts earning, by the time he becomes established on his two feet, by the time he's in a position to do khidmat of his parents, it's too late. The parents have already left. So he doesn't, that child is not able to get the opportunity to spend wealth on his parents, to serve them. So now what can that person do? So this is again the beauty of our Shariat, that it has given us some ways in which we can compensate. Even this loss, even if the parents are no longer alive, one can compensate for this loss. Subhanallah. How? So there are a few steps here. Number one is to try to fulfill the wasiyat of our parents. Wasiyat. If they've left behind in a wasiyat, to fulfill that wasiyat. In a hadith, it comes that once a sahabi came to the Prophet and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, my mother, she said to me that I should set a slave free on our behalf. But I don't have any slave with me. I just have a slave woman, not a man. And that woman, she's also very... she's ignorant, she's illiterate. So the Prophet said that free her, call her to me. So she was brought before the Prophet and she was illiterate. So the Prophet asked her a question that, tell me, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And she pointed with a finger at the sky. So then the Prophet asked her that, tell me, who am I? And she replied that, you are the messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he smiled and said that this woman that you have, she is a Muslim. And if you set her free, then you will be able to fulfill the wasiyat of your mother. So this is the first point. The second haq that parents have is that if they pass away, then the children should try to fulfill any qarz, any loan that is pending. And if the children, even though they may not have made that wasiyat, but if the children, the awlad, they fulfill, they repay that loan on behalf of their parents, so they will inshallah become deserving of this greater reward and ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third point is to make dua for our parents. Make dua for them, make dua istighfar for them. Because dua is also a way to increase their darajat, increase their ranks. And making istighfar on their behalf is also a way in which a person can seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on their behalf, that Allah accept their good deeds and Allah overlook their mistakes, forgive their sins. So in Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, in his kitab, he's narrated a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he elevates the daraja, the rank of a pious person in Jannah. And when this happens, that person, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or she asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, why did you elevate my daraja? Why did you elevate my rank here in Jannah? And what was the cause of this advancement, this progress here in Jannah? Fayaqul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, that be istighfari waladika laka, that because of the istighfar that your son was making, this rank will be elevated. And in return for this istighfar of your son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the rank of that person in Jannah. Then the fourth task that needs to be done is that the parents, when they were alive, and if they had any friends, and it happens, right? Parents have they have their own circle of friends. Or if there are some relatives, people who are related to our parents, close relatives, or distant relatives, or acquaintances, or friends of our parents. Those people who had a relationship with our parents, a relationship perhaps even of love with our parents. So we should try to take care of all such relationships. We should try to build all such relationships and keep these relationships of love. So for example, if the mother, she passes away, so the khala, yani the sister of her mother, she takes the rank of her mother. We're supposed to give her that rank. The friends of her father, we should view them as our friends. We should behave with them well. We should do husne suluk with them. This also is one way that we can compensate for the rights of our parents. Then fifth is that we should spend in sadaqah and khairat, in charity on behalf of our parents. Sadaqah does not mean that you spend $100,000 on their behalf. No. In a hadith it comes that if a person spends a part of an old date in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the person will get the reward for this spending. For even this spending, not even a complete date, part of a date. So we should educate ourselves and we should educate our children that every month we should have a habit of spending some of our wealth in charity for the sake of Allah. We can spend for in the masjid, to build a masjid, we can spend to support an institution of Islamic learning, we can spend in any charitable cause, and we can make the intention that Allah, I ask you that you send the sawab and the reward of this charity to my parents. In the month of Ramadan, we can spend on the poor, the masakeen, and we can again make niyat of our parents. So from time to time, we should have a habit of spending sadaqah, khairat. And we should not look at the quantity, how much we are spending. If you spend with sincerity, with ikhlas, then it will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that sadaqah the way people multiply their animals, right? Allah ta'ala will multiply. Then the sixth point is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives any ability, istita'at, financial ability to a person, then they should try to offer hajj on behalf of their parents, hajj and umrah, on behalf of their parents who have passed away. Once the Prophet ﷺ, he addressed a sahabi and said that you should go and perform hajj on behalf of your father, and you should also do Umrah on behalf of your father. Then the seventh point is that we should do our own amal, our own good deeds. We should try to do them quickly. We should try to do them quickly. This is again a very ajeeb point. That we do our good deeds. All of us, we do our good deeds. But because all good deeds that we do, their reward will go to our parents. So, because they were the cause, they did our tarbiyah. And if we make an additional intention, then all the more. So hence, we should try to excel in doing good deeds. And we should try to do our good deeds quickly, hasten to them, like Allah says in Quran, وَسَابِقُوا تُو سَبَقَتْ. Quickly, and we should hasten to do our good deeds. And the reason is because the parents, they wait in their graves, in Alam-e Barzakh. It's a different Alam. We have this Alam-e Dunya, the Alam in which we are alive. Then people who pass away, there is another Alam, which is called Alam-e Barzakh. And then they will continue to remain there until Yawmul Qiyamah, when then everyone will be raised up from their graves. And then we will enter another Alam, which will be the Alam-e Hashr. And then after that, it will be Alam-e Akhirah, either Jannah or Jahannam. So those people who pass away, they're in another Alam, which is called Alam-e Barzakh. And there they wait. They're waiting that when will our kids, when will our children send these gifts of Ibadat to us. And hence we should not delay in sending these gifts to them. We should try to quickly do our good deeds, hasten to do our good deeds. Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh, in his book, he has written a very interesting story. He says that there was a very pious person of Allah, friend of Allah, who was walking past a graveyard. And he thought that I will recite some surah and send sawab to all those people who are deceased and buried here in this graveyard. Then later he had a dream where he saw that one angel came with a sack, and in that sack there was all that reward, that sawab. And then the angel was calling, was making an announcement, and then as a result of that announcement, all the deceased, they stood up, and then all of them started running towards the angel, trying to get their hissa, trying to get their part from that sack, their reward that they were worthy of. So all of them, they got their own hissa, their own portion, the part that they deserved. But there was one deceased who was just sitting there, who did not rise up, was just sitting, relaxing. So in that dream, he asked him that, why didn't you go to get your portion? When other people got up to get their portion, why are you still sitting? So he said that my portion, I will get it. I have no need to worry, I will get my portion. I'm sitting here with itminan because I have a son who is alive, who is in the dunya. And my son is the Hafiz of Quran. And he recites Quran. And because of his recitation of Quran, I get so much portion, so much reward, that I'm already content. I'm in a state of itminan. So in that dream, he asked that deceased, that where is your son? So he told him, this is the name of my son, and this is that place where he has a shop and he works at his shop. So when this man, he woke up from this dream, when this person, this Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he woke up and then he went in that direction, and there he saw that shop, and he saw that there was a young man sitting at that shop. The customers would come, and when they would come, then he would engage them. And when they would go away, then in his free time, he would be reciting Quran. His lips would be moving with the recitation of Quran. So he understood that this was a true dream. And then some time passed by, and again he passed by that same graveyard, and again he recited something and did Isa alayhi salam. And this time again he had a dream in which again he saw that angel, and an angel brought a sack, and all the people were running towards that angel to get their portion. But this time, this person who was initially sitting, he also stood up and he also started running. So then he asked him that, why did you run? So that deceased replied that, my son, he passed away. Some time ago, my son, he passed away. And now that ajr, that reward which I was getting through him, that has ended. So now whatever dua the aam mu'mineen they make, so I have to go and have to get my portion, and I become happy by getting my portion from their du'as. So we should try to hasten to do our good deeds. This will inshallah become a source of happiness for the ruh of our parents. Then the eighth point is that if our parents, if they took any oath, any qasam, then to whatever extent it's possible, we should try to fulfill their oath. The ninth point is that we should try to fast, keep nafli, optional fast, and on their behalf. And then we should also try to recite Quran and do isale sawab of Quran to them as much as possible. And the tenth and final point is that we should try, and especially for men, we should try to go and visit the grave of our parents. From time to time we should go and we should try to visit them, and we should try to recite Quran and do Isa alayhi salam. And then the Shariat hasn't just given us these ways in which we can compensate. The Shariat also tells us the reward that we will get, the inama, the blessings we will get if we fulfill the rights of our parents. And this is such a comprehensive topic that nothing has been left out. Every single thing has been detailed in our deen. So we also know in our deen what is the inamat, the blessings, the rewards that a person will get if they behave well with their parents, if they fulfill the rights of their parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that person not just in this dunya, not just in akhira, but also in this dunya. So what is the faida, what is the benefit that a person will get in this dunya first? So first benefit of doing husne suluk, behaving well with our parents, that a person will get in this dunya, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in their age and in their rizq, and in the age of the children. Allah will put barakah in his or her umr, age or rizq. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that whoever does husne suluk, behaves well, does well with their parents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this amal, will grant him or her barakah in their umr, in their age, and in their rizq. So many people, they ask about barakah, how to get barakah in a rizq, how to get barakah in our age. So this is one easy way, that the more and more good we do to our parents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply the barakah in our rizq, in our dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant barakah in our age. Actually, this means two things. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say there is a person who was supposed to live for 60 years. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prolong that person's life and make it to 70 years, let's say, for example. And the second meaning is that he came with 60 years, and he will live for 60 years. But sometimes it happens that at the age of 40, Now he becomes sick. There's a blood pressure. There's another disease or sickness, and paralysis. And the last few years of the life, they're spent in a state of one is deprived of their physical health. So the second meaning of barakah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give, will save that person from diseases, from these sicknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a healthy 60 years. So he will not be dependent on anyone till his last breath. This is called barakat in umr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will effectively increase that beneficial part of his age. Then there's another benefit, which is that this person, he tried to please his parents. So as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this amal a kafara, a compensation for his sins. This will become a kafara for the sins, for his or her sins. So Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah has narrated this hadith. The Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says that once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu and said that, "O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, that I've done a very big sin, a very gunai kabira, a grave sin." So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "That is your mother alive?" And he said that, "No, she passed away." Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "That is your khala alive?" And the sister of your mother, your aunt. And he said that, "Yes, he's alive. She's alive." So the Prophet ﷺ told him that, "Go do well to your khala. Do husni suluk to her and ask her to make dua on your behalf. And the dua that your khala makes on your behalf, because of that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sin." Subhanallah. So we learn from this that when the khala, when the aunt, she makes dua, based on that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive a major gunai kabira of a person and make it easy for that person to enter into Jannah, then the daraja, the rank of a mother is higher than the khala. So if the mother, she makes dua for her son, for her daughter, then how easily will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the sins of that person? So we should try to earn the duas of our parents. Then another benefit is that a person will get to be with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that when I will enter into Jannah, so I will hear some recitation in Jannah. There will be some sound of recitation coming. And I will ask that, "Whose sound is this?" And I will be told that this is that young man who entered Jannat with you, along with you. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, "I will ask that, who is he?" And it will be said that this is Harisa bin Noman. So then I asked the angels that, "Which amal, what was that amal because of which you got this maqam?" So they will say that he was very obedient to his mother. Harisa bin Noman, he was very obedient to his mother. So you see, one who is obedient to their father, to their mother, then they will be made to enter Jannah along with the Prophet ﷺ. So these were a few benefits that a person will get in dunya and akhirah. Now just to understand that the Shariat has given our parents a daraja, that sometimes there is one fardi, so just to understand how much right they have. And sometimes we have an ibadat, that should I do this ibadat or should I take care of my parents? Should I do this amal or should I take care of my parents? Right? It's about prioritization. Which thing has priority? Parents or some other good amal, some other good ibadah? So here again, the Shariat has given us some broad guidelines, some teachings. First thing that Sharia says is that the daraja, the rank of parents is such that if on one side there is fard-e-kifaya, On the other side, you have your parents. So the parents will take fawqiyat over that fard kifaya. Parents will have a greater right than this fard kifaya. This is something to reflect about, that in order to go for jihad, one has to seek permission. And if parents are alive and they need khidmat, then the khidmat of parents takes precedence. It takes precedence over going for jihad. That is Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that once a person, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, "Ya Rasulullah, I wish to go for jihad." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, "Are your parents alive?" And he said, "Yes, they're alive." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Go, do khidmat of your parents. This is jihad for you." Yani meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him back. Why? To do khidmat of his parents. Similarly, parents, they also have a right over one's friends and their spouse and their wife. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah, he mentions this hadith from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of them, where the Prophet ﷺ said, that إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي 15 خَصْلَةً, that when 15 things will be present within my ummah, then حَلَّ بِهَا الْبَلَاءُ, then bala and azab and travesty and calamity will become dominant upon my ummah. And in those 15 things, one of them is that a person أَتَى الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ, that a person will obey his wife and will end up disobeying his mother. And وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَاهُ, and he will do good to his friend, but he will be disloyal to his father. From this hadith mubarakah, we understand that the right of father and mother is more than even our friends and our children and wife. In the same way, the rights of parents are also greater than our children. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates that Bani Israel, there were three people of Bani Israel who went on a journey. It's a long, long hadith and a very famous hadith. And they were stuck in a cave. There was a rock, a boulder that came at the mouth of the cave, and they weren't able to come out. So each one of them, then they presented some amal, a good deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the person, he presented an amal, and he said that, "I would go and herd sheep, and then in the evening I would come back and I would take out milk from my sheep and my goats, and then I would present that milk first to my parents, and then after that I would give that milk to my children." And this amal was so makbul, so acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually moved that boulder away from the mouth of that cave. Then another amal that is very important in our deen is hijrat, for the sake of Allah, to migrate for the sake of Allah. And here also we see that the right of parents, it takes precedence over hijra. So in a hadith, it mentions that one young man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said that, "O Messenger of Allah, I have made intention to perform hijrat, to migrate, and I'm leaving behind my parents." But the Prophet ﷺ said that, no, go back. And the way you left your parents in a state that they were crying, I want you to go back and now make them happy such that they're smiling. And this will be more afzal. This will be better for you in your haq, in your favor. And to the extent that even if a person wishes to do nafli ibadah, so nafli ibadah on one hand and khidmat of parents on the other, our deen teaches us that the rights of parents are more than nafli ibadah. In one hadith we see that there was a person by the name of Jarid, who was a monk from Bani Israel, who was a very pious person. He used to do a lot of, spend his days and nights in ibadah. So one day his mother, she came to meet him, and she called him 3 times, but he was engaged in nafil ibadah and was not able to reply. So the mother, she became angry, she became upset, and she said in that state of anger that, may Allah put you in some fitna before you die. So the mother, she said those words, made a baddua. But that baddua became true in such an ajeeb way that nearby there was a girl, and that woman, she did some zina with someone else, and as a result she became, was expecting, then she bore a child. So then people started doing, taunting her, lan, tan to her, that what have you done? So that woman, she took the name of Jarid. There's this Jarid person, this rahib, this monk, this person who does a lot of ibadah, he did this action with me. So when the people found out, so they went to Jarid and they started hitting him. And they also destroyed that place where he used to do worship. Jarid then asked him that, why are you doing all of this to me? What have I done? And they said that you have done zina with that fala woman, because of which she has a child now. So Jarid said that, I should take me to that child. So when Jarid went to that child, so he asked that child to tell me, who is your father? So ultimately Jarid was a very pious man. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him, and that child started to speak. He said that, my father is that fala fala shepherd. So from the story of the ulama, this is in Sahih Bukhari. This whole waqia, this whole story is in Sahih Bukhari. The scholars have written that the maqam was so high of the parents, of the mother was so high, that when the child, he distressed her, he was engaged in nafil ibadah, the mother, she made that baddua, but that baddua became true on behalf of her son. So when the Prophet ﷺ, he heard this, after telling this waqia, this whole story, he said that if Jarid was an alim, this is the key line, the punchline, لَوْ كَانَ جُرَيْدٌ عَالِمًا, if Jurayd was an alim, not just a worshipper, not just a monk or rahib, but also an alim, then لَعَلِمَ أَنَّ أَجَابَتَهُ أُمُّهُ أَوْلَى مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. If Jarid was an alim, then he would have known that the rank of a mother is higher, is greater than nafli ibadat. The rank of a mother has more fazilat than nafli ibadat. So from this, we understand that the parents, they do so much for their children, but in return, what kind of rank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such a high maqam in the Sharia. And the next thing is is also, it's sometimes we hesitate to mention, and we should listen to this very attentively, that in the Shariat, the khidmat of parents, it takes precedence over ziyarat of the Prophet ﷺ. Imam Muslim rahmatullah, he narrates this hadith that Uwais Qarni rahmatullah, he was a person who used to live in Qaran, and he was engaged in the khidmat of his mother. He lived at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and he wanted to do ziyarat of the Prophet ﷺ, to see the Prophet ﷺ. He had already brought iman before, but because of doing khidmat of his mother, he wasn't able to come and meet and see the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ called Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and said to him that in Yemen there is a fala tribe, and in that tribe there is a person, and that person, the indication, the sign of that person is that he has some white spot at, which is the size of a dinar, at this part, at one part of his body, that he had this mark which was left because of an illness that he had. But then the Prophet ﷺ said that Umar, that that person has such a maqam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ is saying this, that if he takes a qasam in the name of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill the qasam of that person. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he also said to the Sahaba that if you ever meet him, if you ever meet him, then you should try to ask him, request him to make dua istighfar for you. This is in Sahih Muslim. That if you meet him, then you should request him to make dua for you. And another riwayah, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ gave his own jubba as a hadiyah, as a gift, and said that, Umar, when you meet him, then I want you to give my jubba to him and request him that he should make dua for the maghfirah of my ummah. That he should make dua for the maghfirah of my ummah. Allahu Akbar Kabir. So Hazrat Uwais Qarni rahmatullah, he wasn't able to do ziyarat of the Prophet ﷺ, wasn't a sahabi. But later on, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he met Sayyidina Uwais Qarni rahmatullah, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave him that hadiyah, that jubba, as a hadiyah, and then also said that the Prophet ﷺ has conveyed this message, and I'm conveying this message to you, that please make dua of maghfirah for this ummah. So subhanAllah, this is the maqam of khidmat of parents. This is the rutba, the rank that Allah has given them. And this is also a fact, and we'll just end with this, that if our parents, if they become upset with us, especially if a mother, she becomes upset, then it's very easy to win over. It's very easy to win them over. One of the most easiest way, one of the most easiest tasks is to win them over. Because even if she becomes upset with you, but she's always waiting in anticipation, then when will my son, when will my daughter come back? When will they say sorry to me and I can forgive them? And we have seen this in our own life, that if the mother, she becomes upset, she says something, scolds him, and the child, in a rebellion, he leaves the house, the mother, she becomes restless. She makes wudu, she comes on the musalla, she's making dua, that, oh Allah, that save my child, let him not go away, let him not go into some bad friends, let him not take any extreme measure. Allah return my child back to me in a state of peace and salamati. When the time for food comes, everyone is eating, but the mother, she asks, and the mother, she is not eating, right? She says, I'm not hungry. In reality, she also wants to eat, but she is thinking about her son, that I don't know, what will my son be eating? Where must he be? How can I eat if my son is not here? All the other people, they go to sleep. It's only this one mother who is already, you know, is not able to sleep. She's changing her sides, this side, the other side, thinking that maybe, perhaps my son will come back. And then he will knock on the door, and then I don't want him to wait at the door. She is waiting. And then, if the child comes back, so then she will wake up all, everyone, that, oh no, go, your brother is here. She will wake up her daughter, that, go, your brother is here, make food. She is still upset because she wants to hear sorry. But she still outwardly will act and tell other people to go and take care of him. And she wants to listen to that sorry because this is Islah. And then finally, when the son comes and he says sorry to his mother, the mother, it's very easy. She accepts that sorry. She says that, I was waiting for you to come and come back to me. I've already forgiven you. So for a child to win over his parents is very easy. Sometimes if they are still, by saying sorry, if they're still, don't accept that sorry, if they're more upset, more angry, and if the child then he starts to cry before his mother, then this is again something we have seen, that as soon as tears start to flow from his eyes, then no matter how hard-hearted, parents always, they come back. Parents, it's very easy to win them over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them in such a way. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to do amal on these teachings of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability that we can be good children to our parents. We can fulfill their hukuk, their rights over us, and become a source of rada, a source of sukoon for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also enable us to become good parents to our own kids. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا, that I remember the name of your Lord exclusively and to the exclusion of everything else. And elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَدَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً, to remember your Lord inside of yourself, أي في قلبك, inside of your heart, in all humility and in all silence. So we make a niyat of doing amal on these ayat of the Quran. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world and make intention that Allah, Ya Allah, I'm remembering you deep inside of my heart. And Allah, I ask you that you remember me, just like you have said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that if you remember me, then I will remember you. Ya Allah, I'm remembering you deep inside of my heart, and I ask that you remember my heart by showering your rahmah upon my heart, by washing my heart of its sins, by purifying my heart of its filth, by sending nur and light into my heart, by inclining my heart towards your remembrance. And Ya Allah, my heart in gratitude, in shukr is calling upon your Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah, as if my heart is secretly and silently saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. وصلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك. اللهم أعط نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.